Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A jury of 7 men and 5 women now deliberating evidence in the hush money criminal trial. Donald Trump charged with 34 counts of falsifying business records related to campaign finance law and payments made to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. ABC's John Santucci has more.
Judge Juan Merchan has said they're going to sit for the day, normal time. So, you know, if we get to 4:30, it means if they don't have a verdict, we'll be back again tomorrow doing this for the next several days. We know this is a jury that will not sit on the weekends. They could say to the judge, look, we think we're close. We'd like to stay a little later tonight. So a lot of that is going to need to be watched for.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Moldova holding meetings. That country neighbors Ukraine. The U.S. pledging $135 million in aid to counter Russian disinformation and for energy security. And Nissan has issued a do not drive warning for 84,000 of its older models due to recalled airbags and the risk of them exploding. This is
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Madison judge will decide whether to restore collective bargaining rights many public sector workers in Wisconsin lost under Act 10. Attorney Jacob Carabel argued yesterday that Act 10 illegally gives police and firefighters more rights than other public workers.
Act 10 created two categories of public employees. The distinction that Act 10 created between these groups of employees lacks a rational basis.
Republicans say Act 10 has survived other court challenges over the years. Even if a group trying to recall Assembly Speaker Robin Voss this summer succeeds, there's nothing to stop Voss from running again this fall. That's a former Government Accountability Board director, Kevin Kennedy, tells WisPolitics. The recall group submitted 8,000 petition signatures yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. This week is the WIAA State Track and Field Championships in La Crosse. City officials said that with thousands of people coming to La Crosse to watch the event, traffic will be busier than usual. The two-day event is held at UW-La Crosse, drawing competitors from schools all over the state. Police said that there is a big uptick in crashes and other traffic incidents due to unfamiliarity with the local roads and congestion. Average attendance at the state meet is over 15,000 people, with recent years topping 20,000. Last night was the final in-person referendum community engagement session for the La Crosse School District. One final session will be held online next Thursday. The district is going to referendum this fall a $53.5 million proposal to consolidate 4 elementary school buildings into 2 locations. District officials said that the main concern brought up by residents is the cost of the plan, which is about the same as providing maintenance on the 4 existing school buildings. More information is available online. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers lose to the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers went into extra innings but lost to the Cubs in front of 24,000 fans at AmFam Field. Chicago, with a 5-run rally in the 10th, went on to win 6-3. Willie Adames drove in the tying run but was called out at second trying to secure a double. A challenge failed. X-rays on Brewers closer Trevor McGill were negative after he took a hot comeback shot to his right throwing arm. A lot of twists and turns in this one. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, there's a lot of key moments. That was one of them for sure. The throw from left field to the bang bang play, key moment.
The Cubs getting a good performance from their bullpen and starter Ben Brown, who pitched a no-hitter through 7 innings before being pulled. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
Look, it was a tight game, and so it was a fun game to watch, and we pitched really well and showed a lot of spirit in the game and a lot of fight and came up with a win.
Again, the Brewers losing to the Cubs 6-3. The series continues game 3 out of the 4-game series tonight. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A high pressure is sitting over the state today and tomorrow, bringing us abundant sunshine with calmer winds. And highs today will flirt with 70, rising just a touch warmer tomorrow too. The sunshine stays with us until the weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by comedian and former Dinner in a Movie host, Paul Gilmartin. We'll talk about the new Dinner in a Movie reboot, and I'll be joined in studio by filmmaker Craig Anthony Knitt.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. Eagle, 1490 AM.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers. It is Wednesday, May 29th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Why, Mr. Zommers? Because it's
Pump Day!
Exactly. Here we are with a holiday week, Monday. We're already at Hump Day. We're already at the middle of the week. It's great to have you along. 6 past the hour of 12 noon. Sunshine here in the capital city, high atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zommers is in a beautiful hibiscus t-shirt today.
Is that what flower it is? I guess so,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, just a nice floral shirt.
I picked myself up a hibiscus plant from Cop Keys Greenhouse down in Oregon, where they had a very successful auction over the weekend for the Badger Honor Flight program, getting veterans out to Washington, D.C. So buy a plant, help a vet. How about that?
Yeah, I didn't end up getting to go, but I would not have been able to buy one anyway, probably.
Because you're allergic?
That, and also, it's just, I feel like they end up going for more money than I wanted to spend on plants at this time.
But it's for the vets, for goodness sake.
It's a good cause.
All right, it is. It's a fantastic cause. Always happy to do our part. And welcoming folks in, as per usual, on a Wednesday, all the way from beautiful Lake Wissota in northern Wisconsin, high atop the state, above Highway 29, our very own Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, from 6 to 8 every morning, and from the nation's capital, Mr. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Gentlemen, welcome to you both, Mr. Kreitlow. What, did you get the pontoon boat out at all over the holiday?
I did not, sadly. Yeah, we have engine troubles, and got a call from the folks who were just as they were about to put it in, said that there was an issue with the starter, and it was going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
So we're working on that, and hopefully by this weekend we'll see. But I take solace in knowing that even if I can't float my dinghy, I still love my country more than Aaron Zommers, who won't buy a damn flower. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
I invited Trigby. That upon myself.
Yep.
You know, Zommers, you should be giving him a bad time about Pat having problems with his starter.
Oh, I was going to say, I was at least going to say, you don't want a boat. You want a friend with a boat.
Right.
That much is true. That much is true.
Trigby, did you travel at all, or did you stay in the nation's capital for the weekend?
I did not travel. I ended up working most of the weekend. Oh. A little bit of family time, but a lot of work.
All right. Very good. Well, I know Kreitlow, because I talked to him this morning. Have you ever gone, Trigby, to the National Memorial Day concert on the National Mall out there in person, since you live out there?
I have never done that, but we always go to see the Rolling Thunder, which we did. And we go to Arlington National Cemetery and walk around and And then we watch the guys on the Harleys go driving by. Mm-hmm. My daughters have thought that's cool since they were little. And even as teenagers, they still think it's pretty cool. And then, you know, going to Arlington is always important. I think if you live in the D.C. area, you should go there once a year. And Memorial Day is a really good day to go and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Really good day. A good day to set aside, pause, and remember all those who have given all so that we all might enjoy these Memorial Day weekends and every other day of the year that we get to live in freedom. Want to talk turn our focus a little bit to politics. And Trigvi, it's been a while. You've been a couple of weeks since you were with us. I'm not sure, Pat, whether we brought this up. I don't think so on this segment with the both of you. Of course, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, was the state Republican convention in, I believe, Appleton, Wisconsin, right, Mr. Sommers? That's where it was?
Yep.
And like Harry Houdini, Republicans made a lot of things go away, such as, you know, a choice for women. And what I'm looking at here is the resolutions, the platform that the state Republican Party passed. And Trigvi, you and I, as former Republicans, have attended a lot of past state Republican conventions. And a couple of things stood out to me. And I want to get your take on, I mean, I'll call them the more politically or media sexy ones, like calling for an impeachment of the Election Commission Administrator of Wisconsin, Megan Wolf, for no reason at all. But the thing that I want to get both your takes on is this resolution that the state Republican Party passed en masse, which means they did not take the standard roll call vote, which Trigvi, and of course, Pat, going to Democratic state convention, it's a big deal because you go to the state convention, they say Richland County, you know, Richland County, home of Frank Lloyd Wright, cast three votes for whatever it is. And they didn't do this. They just took all these resolutions up on en masse and one voice vote passed everything. This resolution making Wisconsin, quote, an income tax free state, unquote. Now, you might think, well, it's great, get rid of the income tax. Pat Kreitler knows this better than anybody else as a former legislator. Bob Lang, the director of the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau. And by the way, Pat, is there anybody more respected in state government than Bob Lang?
None. None in this state and no state official more in the country.
Thank you. Bob Lang, who runs the State Fiscal Bureau, or as Rob Coles likes to call it, the Bureau, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, Bob Lang said that if the Republicans would do this, it would create a $19.5 billion shortfall of the state budget, which accounts for 45% of the general fund in the state tax collections for the biennium. Senator Chris Larson, Democrat, did some math on that. That would be the totality of the state portion of K-12 funding for public education, the entire University of Wisconsin system and technical college system combined. I ask you, Trigvi Olson, and then Pat Kreitlow, what up?
Education's overrated, Todd.
I mean, what are these people? You remember Walter Baltz, who smoked a cigar and ran the Rules Resolution Committee at the state Republican convention with an iron fist. Walter Baltz would have never let this happen.
Walter F. Baltz would have not let this happen. There was German efficiency when Walter Baltz ran things in the Republican Party. Okay. So first of all, you know, party conventions are a small subset of the bigger population. It's just ridiculous. I mean, do these people like roads? Do they want their to pay for it through sales taxes, property taxes? Like, you know, it gets to the level and the lack of seriousness within the Republican base. It's nuts.
Pat Kreitler, as a former state legislator, you know Bob Lang. Explain to people the respect of Bob Lang, how it is matched on both sides of the aisle, and what this means when Bob Lang says you're creating a $19.5 billion deficit, potentially.
Well, and Bob would be the first to say it's not just him, it's his team. And as any legislator worth their salt would tell you, Wisconsin is blessed to have legislative support staff, not the staff in every legislator's office, but like the fiscal bureau, the reference bureau, things like that. We are blessed to have staff that represent the very best of what state government support should be. They operate in no manner that is ever partisan. It is right down the middle. We are here for information. And Bob Lang is at the pinnacle of that service of providing information. So when he says something, book it. Just book it. But as it turned out, to get more to the heart of your question, how these resolutions passed, I have here a transcript from the convention that somebody took of a, what were they once called, compassionate conservatives back in the day, wandering past the convention, and who said to the current delegates, many thousands are in want of common necessities. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comforts. And the delegates in Appleton said, are there no prisons? And the workhouses, are they still in operation? The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor? And the response came, all very busy. Oh, said the delegates, I was afraid what you said at first, that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course. I'm very glad to hear it. So the gist of the convention message is, you know, open up the prisons, shut up everything else, cut taxes for the rich, and, you know, we'll take it from here.
A great line from
Mission Accomplished
from Christmas Carol.
I'm not sure you'd have much for prisons if you didn't have a state income tax.
Right? Oh, you wouldn't. You would just outsource that as well. You know, that's all private no profit driven.
They can pay for their own incarceration.
Exactly. See, you're getting it.
Yeah.
I just for a party that has for years tried to pride itself as, you know, fiscally responsible, this is the most. And again, I hasten to add, Republicans at the state convention did not offer an alternative to pay for the $19.5 billion deficit it would create if they passed in legislative form and got signed into law what they passed as a party platform at the state convention. Trigby, that's simply not fiscally responsible.
Details, Todd. The devil's always in the details. No, I mean, no, it's not fiscally responsible. But I mean, honestly, there is a misguided notion that there is fiscal responsibility. I would argue both parties struggle with it, but this is just ridiculous. And it says a lot about where the base of the party is. And it's not grounded in any form of reality. You know, they're fighting fights. At some level, parts of the conservative, so-called conservative movement, they're fighting fights. When did the national income tax got legalized? I just read a book that this was in, I don't know, like 1910, something like that. Like, they're fighting battles that have been established for a long period.
Oh, they've wanted for a century to roll these things back, you know, food inspection, you know, and things like that. But I will say to close, I hope on a hopeful note, you guys let me know. You worked with former Governor Scott McCallum, but as we speak, I'm looking at him in another screen where he and former journalist David Haynes are launching something called the Wisconsin Alliance for Civic Trust, an attempt to increase civic engagement and build bridges across the political spectrum. If it sounds like Keep Our Republic, that it probably is one and the same. But I hadn't heard Scott McCallum's name in a long time. And again, I don't know how that's all unfolding as I'm watching their initial meeting here. But anytime you can show me a former prominent Republican or current, you know, a Republican official trying to bring about any kind of constructive conversations on civility, that's a net plus. So I think we've at least got that going for us.
Yeah. Trigby, about 30 seconds.
Yeah, you know, so that's a project that's part of the Carter Center.
Yes.
President Carter, and they're doing that in several states. And the idea is to really be on top of, I've talked to David about it. I haven't talked to Scott about it, but they're trying to make sure that things don't melt down.
The perfect segueist, Pat Kreitlow, because we're going to talk a little bit about what Kathy Brenier and her group Keep Our Republic said about the state convention. Thank you, Patrick. We'll talk to you soon. Up North News Radio 6 to 8. Trigby on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to give you permission to stop buying something that you have probably been on the fence about anyway. Gift cards. Now, we all know why gift cards are popular. You can buy them anywhere. They're slightly personal. We're all short on time. What the heck do you buy a teenager anyway? But it turns out that gift cards are the nicest presents for the corporations that sell them. More than half of gift cards go unused. It's just free money for big companies. And over a third of shoppers who do use gift cards say the gift card was the only reason they even went into that store in the first place. And then most of us end up spending more than the gift card, on average $59 more. In short, gift cards are like giving somebody you love a $60 debt to go run an errand. Just give cash instead. You can always put it in a fancy envelope. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube and take good care.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 past the hour of 12 noon, Wednesday, hump day, May 29th, 2024. Thanks always to Mr. Kreitlow for joining us. You can hear him each and every morning, 6 until 8 on Up North News Radio. Always a great time. Get up, start your day, a cup of coffee, Pat Kreitlow. You can't beat it with a stick. Right now, you cannot beat having our very own Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joins us each and every Wednesday as well from our nation's capital. Like me, a former Republican, like me, left the party and now fighting for democracy, trying to end Trumpism, or at least the Trump campaign, and go from there. Talking about the state Republican convention a couple of weeks ago here in the state of Wisconsin, passing a large group of resolutions. They call it en masse. It was just a fancy way of saying all together on one big voice vote. And Trigvi and I can tell you from having been to countless state Republican conventions over the years, and I said this a couple weeks ago when this first broke, and you'll remember this, Trigvi, for years, a guy by the name of Walter Baltz from La Crosse area ruled that committee resolutions with an iron fist. And you would start in the county, have a resolution in the county, then it would go to the district, and these resolutions would not be on the ballot even at the convention if Walter didn't want them on there. And usually he tried to appease everyone and kind of have something in there for everybody, but you would not have far right or far left resolutions because the idea is that looks terrible to the public. That's terrible for perception. And now, a couple weeks ago, the current iteration of Republican Party leadership passed a resolution calling for the end of the state income tax in Wisconsin, which, according to Bob Lang and the Nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau, creates a $19.5 billion deficit in the state budget, or about 45% of the general fund, with no ideas of how to replace that revenue. Going to get to some other wacky resolutions they passed as well. But first, let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Tom, listening on WMDX in Madison. Tom, thanks for calling. Let's see.
Hey, you really inspired me. I'm driving to Watertown right now, and I heard your report. So I figure I would call Voss and Lemahue. And Lemahue's office said, they said, well, those resolutions aren't binding. They're just, you know, they're just in there right now. And Voss's staffer actually said, he said, well, I have no idea about that. I'm not part of the Republican mechanism. I
see,
strictly work for the Voss, yeah.
This is fantastic, Tom. Your reporting could not be any better if we paid you, which we're not. But this is perfect, Tom, because you get at the heart of what I want to talk to a little bit about, which is these legislators try to separate themselves and say, well, you know, that's just the party activists. But yet they run as Republicans, but they don't even want to own their own party's ideas. Even the legislators don't go along with this. This is a great call, Tom. What do you think personally about this idea?
Oh, I think it's absolutely irresponsible. And as with most MAGA-type things, there's never a backup plan. They go, they withdraw from the Paris Accord without a backup plan, the Iran deal, the ACA. We've been waiting for that health care plan from Republicans since the Nixon administration.
Right.
Repeal and replace. Just forgot about the replace.
Exactly. Tom, great.
No, call your legislator's office. Call your legislator's office. It's a tiny bit of activism you can do every day. It doesn't cost anything. And they take notes. So definitely get involved.
Great call, Tom. Thank you so much for your listenership. Yeah. Thanks for calling in. Trigvi, that nails it on the head.
It does nail it on the head. You know what I was thinking, though? Well, right before Tom called in with a great point, I was thinking, you know, Todd, they didn't want us at their little Republican party last year, and we forgot to ask if we could come this year. They didn't want Todd Albo and his Lincoln Project lackey at their little party. After they said we could come, then they didn't want us there. Right. That kind of makes me sad.
They let all in.
I was a page, for God's sakes, in 1979, 80, 81. Like,
I was a page. I was a delegate for years. I was an alternate delegate. They did let our news director, Terry Bell, in this year. And they did you hear this? They actually, from the dais, they called out civic media saying that we had been a, quote, thorn in their side, unquote. So you're muted, Trivi. Well, what do you? I'm not sure if it's an R end or you're in there. We'll try it again. Hang on here. We're reestablishing connection with Mr. Rolls. Try it again.
I'm not quite. Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you. Yes, yes. So anyway, Republican.
They called us a thorn. Yes, I on that. I want to, Brian Schimming, since you're clearly listening, if we're a thorn in your side, Brian, we've been friends for a long time. You and Todd have been friends. We've drank a lot of beers at periods. Why do you not come on and talk to us about this?
Right. Come on on.
We will have a civil conversation.
Absolutely.
If you want to have a conversation with us over beers before you come on, we'll do that. We're going to be touring the state soon. You know, you should come on.
Come on along.
We'd like to have a conversation with you. Heck. If you want, we could see if we can invite Ben and we could have a little debate. You and I will ask questions.
There you go. We're a civil.
We'll ask your questions.
Absolutely, we will. 855.
When we replace the state income tax, what are we going to do that with?
That's a fair question.
Tony Evers should get outside and stand with a cup. That's what he can do.
855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly across the pond over to beautiful London in the UK. Our fan, the Lincoln Project fan, Jay, listening in. Jay, what's up?
Hey, it's Bigby. You're looking good, brother. How about the glasses?
Yeah, I got rid of the beard. Do you notice?
Yeah,
on.
I just want to ask you about our man, Biden. Do you think he can sort it out? I'm really worried about his stuff.
You were cutting out a little bit, Jay, but I think I heard, Trigby, your thoughts on the Biden campaign and whether he could close up the margin in the polls.
Yeah, so there was a weird noise. Did you hear that?
Yeah,
like
I heard
a
that.
Saw.
Yeah, I think she had a phone vibrating or something.
Oh, maybe. Can Biden pull it off? So listen, there very little has changed in this race. It's going to be close, particularly in Wisconsin. And either candidate could prevail. And both candidates have a problem with their base. Biden, with the left flank, certainly in states like Michigan and maybe some others more than he does in Wisconsin, but some in Wisconsin. And Trump has a problem with people who keep voting for Nikki Haley, even though she hasn't been in the race since, I don't know, Ronald Reagan was president. But I just think it's going to be close. And quite honestly, if you're on that left flank for Biden, you have a choice that you're going to have to make. Do you want Donald Trump back in office being antithetical to everything you claim you stand for? And potentially never allowing you to have a chance to hold power again. And if you're those voters in the center, you're going to have a choice between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, like you did last time. And you're going to have to make the choice. Do you want somebody who might be older, both of them? But do you want someone who's committed to democracy or not?
There you
it's
go.
That simple.
It's,
and you know, it's another point, Todd. Listen, here's the thing. I would say this.
30 seconds.
If you're a dad of daughters or sons, for that matter, in Wisconsin, and you're unsure about what you're going to do, and you're thinking, I don't want those lefties coming back and telling me what kind of shotgun I'm going to own, have a conversation with your daughter about how she feels about her rights being taken away.
Stay tuned. Trigby Olson lost his beard. I got rid of mine about 14 years ago. Back on the other side, it's the Todd Albo Show for a Wednesday on Civic Media.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Wisconsin is a powerhouse when it comes to producing specialty crops. One of the crops we're featuring today is starting to go gangbusters this time of year. I'm talking about sugar peas. I'm Stephanie Huff with the Midwest Farm Report. Sullivan Family Farm in Manitowoc is a first-generation pea grower, and it's brought them success at both their farm stand and in the wholesale market. They're one of more than 100 farms to have gotten a contract through the state's local food purchase assistance program. Ryan Sullivan tells us what drove them to sugar peas in the first place.
Peas are awesome. I say peas are they're just green magic. They are so good. They're so fresh, crunchy. We produce the snap peas or sugar peas. Our peas in the hoop house are between 7 and 8 feet tall right now. We just started harvesting last week, and now that they're producing, it's just going full scale. Kind of like the first tomatoes of the season, those first fresh peas, people really, really value that. They are selling just as fast as we can get them to market, as fast as we can put them out.
Ryan Sullivan joining us from Sullivan Family Farm in Manitowoc. He is a U.S. Air Force veteran turned sugar pea grower. We'll take a look at our commodity markets next.
Sorting out fact from fiction. That's exactly where Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars are being invested this growing season. Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean specialist, says farmers are being approached with so many different products these days, it's important they get clear, correct information.
Because farmers are really getting bombarded with, you know, carbon farming, be able to improve soil health. But what does this really mean? It's kind of a big nebula. So we're really trying to say these indices are ones that farmers can use and rely on, and they have a relationship with soybean yield. And we've identified some of those. But the cool thing is now we're wondering what management strategies help alter or change those. So can we actually improve our soil health metrics? And one thing that we found in this initial data set is that we've seen actually long-term, and by long-term, I mean a minimum of 5 years of cover cropping, actually improve some of our soil health metrics. So that's important and exciting for farmers.
Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean researcher, taking Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars to the field. Follow the story at wisoybean.org.
From Chicago, corn and soybeans are pulling back on a Wednesday. Cash corn is down a penny and a half at 4.61 a bushel. December new crop corn is down a penny and a quarter at 4.84 a bushel. Cash soybeans are trading down 11 and a quarter cents at 12.18 and a quarter. And November new crop beans are down 8 and a quarter cents at 12.02 and a quarter. Cash wheat is going the other direction, trading up 2 and a quarter cents at 7.02 and a half. The Class 3 milk contracts are seeing a lift after falling yesterday. June milk is up a nickel at $19.52 a hundredweight. The July contract is trading up 23 cents at $19.85. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A high pressure is sitting over the state today and tomorrow, bringing us abundant sunshine with calmer winds. And highs today will flirt with 70, rising just a touch warmer tomorrow too. The sunshine stays with us until the weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like the
it's only glass.
It's only
tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday, Door County is getting national attention as a political bellwether. We'll find out why in our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Pursuing
truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it's now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Thank you for taking us along across the state of Wisconsin. You might be out on your boat if you're retired, doing a little perch fishing on a day like today. Maybe you're giving us a listen during your lunch hour in the car, or just sitting at your office desk pretending like you're typing but relaxing with me and Trigby. That's fine. Nothing wrong with it. It's a great day to be Wisconsinite. Trigby and I are going to be traveling the state here in a couple of months on my other big summer tour, Trigby, and we haven't finalized all the stops yet, but it appears we're going to spend a little bit of time in northern Wisconsin, and I cannot wait.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking, if we go up to Hayward or Tomahawk, I wonder if we have any listeners who'd take us muskie fishing.
Right? Yeah, that'd be fun.
Oh, I'd like to go. I've never caught a muskie.
Neither have I.
A lot of northerns and walleyes, and I almost swore on the air. A lot of crappies and sunfish, but never a muskie.
Nicely done. Nice catch.
Yeah, it was a good catch, yeah.
Talking about the state Republican Party convention a couple of weeks ago, Trigby and I are both former Wisconsin Republicans, been to a lot of state Republican Party conventions. They passed these resolutions all together at once. They did not vote for them individually, so people could not be held accountable. And a great call from our listener, Tom, who said he called into Senate Majority Leader, Republican Devin Lemahieu's office, and Republican State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's office, and asked them about this one resolution calling for Wisconsin to be an income tax-free state, which, according to Bob Lang, the respected director of the State Legislative Fiscal Bureau, nonpartisan, said that would create a $19.5 billion deficit, or 45% of the state general fund, with no plan to replace it. And Tom called into Lemahieu and Voss's office, and their staff, just like Peter in the Bible, denied the state platform three times before the end of the show. Well, at least they denied it once. This is quintessential politics, Trigby. When it seems to happen more on the Republican side than the Democratic, where Republicans are afraid to embrace their own party platform because guess what? It don't sell in most districts.
Yeah. You know what I was wondering, Todd, is do we have the capacity to call Lemahieu's office on the air and ask them what they think?
I suppose
it would be kind of fun.
It would.
We should think about doing that. It kind of leaves me speechless because, you know, and it doesn't surprise me that these legislators are trying to distance themselves because they want to be seen as serious people and they understand how ridiculous this is. And that should tell you all you need to know. Now, in fairness, since we pursue truth wherever it may lead, I am sure there is some pretty strange stuff in the Democratic platform when they pass it. The difference is that people like Ben Winkler, who's the chair of the Democratic Party, I'm pretty sure that they try and keep those things internal. And my guess is their party platform is going to be much more about serious policy things than ridiculous things like we're eliminating the income tax.
Right. And also, I think the difference is by and large, not everyone, but by and large, it seems like Democratic state legislators are more apt to stand behind and actually run on the main party planks of the state Democratic platform.
Well, part of that is a really wise person who probably is listening to the show because they want to know what we're up to. And then if I say anything bad about the UW system, they'll call me Jack. But super smart point. Republicans are taught in campaigns and in politics to build narratives. And they're like the old Oakland Raiders. It's just win. Democrats talk about policies and what we can give to different constituencies. And we're going to eliminate the income tax. That's a great narrative, but it's not real. And that becomes the problem when you're a party built on creating narratives. You're going to end up eventually creating narratives that are ridiculous.
But you and I were part of state conventions where they would pass resolutions, say, you know, cutting, you know, blank tax by blank percent, or lowering the catch-all, lowering taxes on working people, things like that, that were kind of ambiguous, that were, right. were an easy narrative. But this is a very specific, we're going to eliminate 45% of the general fund with yeah. no plan to replace it. That's just complete. That's not fiscally conservative nor fiscally responsible.
But that's what listeners need to understand. It's right. not the Republican. The Republican Party under Tommy Thompson or Scott McCallum, for that matter, mm-hmm. They would have never allowed no. something like this to no. get through. I mean, Bob Wood would have been on the phone or McCaution or whoever's the chief of staff being like, the state party chair, do you like your job? Because you're not going to be drinking coffee tomorrow if that happens, Rod. Right? I mean, literally.
Rod Heiss, there's the name
hey,
I have
RJ, quite a while. Guess what? You're going to be... You're going to be buying a bus. We'll, you'll be sending you a bus ticket back to Florida. Like that's what would have happened.
You are tan, rested, and ready, and I'm here for every minute of it. I'm here for every minute. Let's go to
Well, it's like a conversation. I was okay. I'm going to rant here.
All right.
I was having a conversation, though. This is the counter side of it. Like, remember when these people on the Biden campaign put out this letter about Palestine?
Mm-hmm.
If you'd have done that on the George Bush campaign, they'd have fired the whole staff. Right. Rove and Ken Melman would have rolled in and said, you're all out of a job. And, oh, by the way, we know who signed the letter. And the rest of you are getting fired for being so stupid as to allow the letter to have gone out from any of you. Like, that's a fundamental difference.
Yes.
And quite frankly, like, that's what the Republican Party used to be. Now, we'll put out ridiculous. Get rid of the income tax.
Well, here's another one. We beat up on Ron Johnson a lot, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican in Wisconsin. But even Ronnie Johnson seems to get it because he went to the state party, got in front, gave a speech in which he literally pleaded, however you want to say it, begged the state delegates, and he said out loud, look, we have to win elections here. On the issue of abortion and trying to get them to take a nuanced stance to carve out exceptions on abortion for rape, incest, and endangerment on the mother's life. And after the senior senator of Wisconsin gave his impassioned plea to the state Republican Party delegates, the state convention passed the resolution that says it would strengthen, it says, strengthening Wisconsin laws, quote, protecting the lives of unborn children to the maximum extent possible, unquote. In other words, no exception. You have the current majority of the people in power of the state party, the delegates, the alternates, the chair, the vice chair, the majority of the Wisconsin Republican Party ignores the wishes of their sitting senior U.S. senator.
When Ron Johnson,
the dogs. Go ahead.
When Ron Johnson is far more reasonable and says, look, we got to be electable here. Come on, calm down. You need to go into the bathroom, splash some cold water in your face, take 18 shots of vodka and reconsider your entire life.
I just I don't get it, Trigvi.
You know, I do. I think.
Tell me.
You know who advises Ron Johnson and ran his campaign?
Tell us.
Chris LaCivita. You know what Chris LaCivita's day job is today, Todd?
I do. Tell the folks.
He is running the Trump campaign. You know what state Chris LaCivita knows they have to win for Donald Trump to come back?
Wisconsin.
You know what he fears most being the issue? It's Dobbs dads. Mm-hmm. Evers Johnson voters. It's dads. Again, as I said, if you have daughters and you're thinking about voting for Donald Trump, because you think the left, you don't like the left, big government from the left coming in and telling you again what kind of shotgun you can own, where you can deer hunt, all the rest of it, whatever it is. And that's why you became a conservative. Have a real conversation with your daughter about how she feels about government coming in and saying, you know what? If you get that kind of medical procedure, we're going to lock you up in your dock. And here's the thing. It's antithetical to conservatism, a bunch of theocrats making decisions, just like it's antithetical to what it means to me, at least. It's antithetical to have a bunch of people on the left telling you what you can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Decisions, hard decisions, should be decisions made by family members and doctors in the case of abortion or women's reproductive rights. They're conversations that the woman should have with her doctor. And if she wants to share and you raise your kids right, you would hope that they'd have with you as their dad. Or the mom, that the people who aren't standing for family values, who are standing for government, are these theocrats that want to push that stuff through. And Ron Johnson gets that's a loser. And so does Chris LaCivita.
A couple other points here I want to make, get your thoughts on Trigvi. A couple of names that true principled conservatives will remember. And this comes from Wisp Politics. First, a former Republican state senator, Kathy Brenier, says she believes that her new group, Keep Our Republic, I believe former Governor McCallum is a part of that. I know our friend Bill McCoshin is making progress in efforts to restore confidence in the election process. According to Wisp Politics, quote, combating the misinformation and disinformation, that's a challenge. Brenier told Upfront, a program that Trigvi was on in Milwaukee on WISN not too long ago. The group hosted an event in Waukesha County a couple of weeks ago featuring local election officials in part to help explain the process and dispel conspiracy theories surrounding the 2020 presidential election. Here's what former Republican State Senator Kathy Brenier had to say, quote, there are certain people that have found it fruitful for them, either financially or otherwise, to go around and make statements about the 2020 election that are absolutely false and not provable, Brenier said. Every time Donald Trump comes into the state and says he won this state, I just cringe because it's like he may not know he's lying, unquote. Trigvi?
Yeah, and Kathy is I met with Kathy a while back. I mean, Kathy is a conservative. But she's speaking the truth. And I think as somebody who's a county clerk, right, like she has unique perspectives on it. And it really, it makes her unhappy. So I'm glad that Kathy Brenier is out doing that. What I don't know is she says the problem is getting better. I take her at her word for it, but I would want to see what Charles Franklin and his guys are saying about that.
Yeah,
because I'm not sure it is getting better.
Here's another one. Trigvi, you remember Brandon Scholes, longtime state party chair, former chief of staff to my former boss, U.S. Congressman Scott Klug. Retired GOP strategist Brandon Scholes said this at the state convention. Quote, if you're a state legislator or congressional candidate or even a U.S. Senate candidate, you have to take into account the degree of how much it'll be helpful in talking about whether or not you want to embrace Trump. And he went on to say, quote, and if it's helpful, then certainly you don't diss the party's candidate. But, he says, quote, whether or not you drink the whole glass of Kool-Aid, that's another story, unquote. Even Brandon Scholes realizes, I mean, he is deliberate in his words, Brandon Scholes, saying the former state party director saying that Trumpism is drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, here's the dyslexia in all of it, though. And Wisconsin is unique this way. If you were to go to Michigan, the state Republican Party convention, it'd just be full-on crazy because the crazies have completely taken over the building. Mm. Literally. And now the building is going to get auctioned off. But so there's that.
Right.
But in Wisconsin, that establishment has kind of held the levers of power. But the base, and that's what you're seeing with these kinds of things that have come out of the state convention, the base is in a very different place. And so it's the back and forth that you see with some of these and the constricting that you see amongst legislators and others who want to be seen as serious versus the inseriousness of proposing things like getting rid of the income tax or what they passed on women's reproductive rights. That's why you see the Ron Johnsons and all of these guys constricting themselves in so many ways.
Also, by the way, Robin Voss, the Republican Speaker of the State Assembly, did not attend. He said he, quote, had a scheduling conflict, unquote. Of course, after Mr. Voss was booed at the state convention last year, because he wasn't strong enough against Trump.
You know, I mean, this is the thing. I think Robin's in a hard spot because Robin is the, if you were to say, who is the essential piece in the establishment maintaining control, some degree of control, the traditional Republican kind of world, it's Robin Voss. And he's constantly having to constrict himself. And
they're up against, up against another recall. We'll get to Trigvi's thoughts on that and more on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allbowles Show for a Wednesday right here across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, 3 district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like skee-ball made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of skee-ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee-ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the skee-ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. By request, at 10 before the hour, 1 o'clock, our own Trigby Olson, Mr. Zommers, on the DJ Playstand here in downtown Madison on State Street. What do you got for us, Zommers?
We have Rattle My Bones by the Suburbs.
A little bit more of this. This is fantastic. If you're eating lunch, if you're driving around the state, it's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. Celebrate our state. Enjoy it. This is fantastic. Trivia Olson,
I isn't it a great song?
It's a great song. You weren't wrong.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to put out, Trivia and I are going to go on another statewide tour, 5 cities in 5 days, coming up in July. And we're going to work on a playlist. And maybe we'll put that out there on Spotify. And you can join us around the state of Wisconsin.
Fishing in the Dark by the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
That used to be my favorite song when I was younger.
That's a great song. When Perry and I played, Jeff Perry watching on Facebook, he and I, I'm sure, played a lot of that at the old WRCO back in the day in Southwest Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So there you go.
You know what's awesome about that is at the Pioneer Bar on Water Street, that was the last song that they'd play every night.
Really?
Yeah, and I was in there in the night. Yeah, it was kind of, it was the equivalent for Eau Claire College kids at Pioneer to what Jump Around is for the Wisconsin kids.
See?
Which probably says a lot about the people who went to Eau Claire versus the ones that go to UW. But yeah,
news you can
I don't
use.
Know if they still do that, but.
Mr. Thomas, I just sent you a cut. If we could cue it up there, I want to use it. I want to get Trigby's thoughts on this. We had a special Memorial Day show on Monday, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday. In terms, Jake Tapper put together at CNN a great compilation of Trump and now verification by Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, a decorated Marine general who lost a son in combat. Some of the absolutely bizarre and offensive things that Trump has said about military folks over the years. Over the Memorial Day weekend, Donald Trump resumed his mocking of former U.S. Senator, Republican from Arizona, John McCain, himself a war hero, spent a lot of time in the Hanoi Hilton. And Trigby, you worked for him. Want to play you this cut and get your reaction.
Trump also revived his mocking of the late John McCain for an injury McCain sustained from being beaten while he was a prisoner of war for 5.5 years during the Vietnam War.
We're going to fight for much better health care than Obamacare. Obamacare is a catastrophe. Nobody talks about it. You know, without John McCain, we would have had it done. But John McCain, for some reason, couldn't get his arm up that day. Remember? He goes that like that. That was the end of that.
And he did the full mock of, and of course, we know that Senator McCain had his arms broken in Hanoi and is a prisoner of war. And that's why he was only able to raise his arms so far. Trigby?
I don't even know where to start with that one. Donald Trump, I think at the end of the day is envious of John McCain being perceived. And he was a hero. He was a flawed person on many levels. He understood his flaws, But he was a hero. I had the opportunity to travel around Iowa with a bunch of the guys he was in the Hanoi Hilton with. And I mean, it's reprehensible. It's even for even by Donald Trump's standards, it's just awful. It's awful. The conversation John Kelly recounts. John Kelly's son was a Marine who was killed in Fallujah, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like Donald Trump's talking about wanting to have a military parade. And he's like, but I don't want any of those injured people there. Like, why would anybody ever let their kid go and die in a war?
Donald Trump stood with General Kelly at the grave of General Kelly's son, at the grave of his son in Arlington, and said, I don't get it. What was it for them?
Here's what I really wonder, and this is true. Chris LaCivita won a Purple Heart in the first Iraq war. I just wonder how Chris, knowing Chris well, like, how does he justify that, and how does he look the other way to that? I would never demean Chris, and I are on opposite sides, and granted, I consider him a friend, but I would never demean his service,
right?
Ever.
And I think, Trigvi, to your point, I guess I've become numb or callous to these Trump comments to a degree, but to me, what is even more upsetting, if it can be, are people like Derek Van Orten and other Republicans at the state Republican convention who want to somehow attack Joe Biden or Democrats for not being pro-military and pro-veteran enough, and yet put their name on endorsements and campaign for a guy who has a record of absolutely no regard for America's military and our veterans.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, I don't understand Derek Van Odwin. He is a weird, weird case. It's sad that they do that, but I think at the end of the day, it really gets back to that Tommy Thompsonism. Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. And the irony is, I remember back when the critique of Democrats is Democrats used to want to make politics a career and Republicans were the business guy who wanted to serve. Mm-hmm. That has completely changed. So many of the Republicans, it became a career path. And that really started with our generation and guys like Scott Walker, who decided, I'm going to be, well, in his case, he wanted to be president, but he never really he wasn't very talented at that. But you know, this, I want to be, and it became a career for these people, whether it was actually serving in office or that was a means to an end to then get a cushy job. You know, if you were elected with a bunch of your rich donors running a group that used to be an honorable group like Young Americans for Freedom. And now, you know, you get paid $800,000 a year to be in charge of that, like Scott Walker, right? But you still put out tweets hoping to catch Donald Trump's eye because you think you know, like it became a career for these guys. I think Derek Van Orten just is a guy who wants to be in Congress. He's also like grumpy old man living next door. You wouldn't want him as your neighbor.
But he comes back home and he pretends, he puts on the show like, you know, Mr. Nice Guy. About a minute
now. Well, and he got wobbly on the hardcore anti-abortion stuff too.
Yeah. 1 minute left quickly. Maybe a verdict in the Trump case out in New York. Any thoughts on how this may affect the campaign, however the verdict may go?
I think it's baked in. Mm-hmm. I you know, Democrats are holding out all this great hope, but I think I don't know that it's going to really impact the people who are going to decide this to a great deal. I really don't.
Yeah. That remains kind of.
Want to know my bigger prediction?
Sure.
Minnesota Timberwolves are coming back. First team in NBA history really? To win four in a row.
Yeah, you think the Timberwolves are coming back against the Mavs?
I do.
My buddy down in Texas.
I was a closeted Timberwolves fan for so long. I will also tell you, I told my daughters last night, I'm skeptical about Travis Kelce showing up cheering for the Dallas Mavericks. What's wrong with that guy? Taylor Swift needs to get a new boyfriend.
Oh, whoa, there's a hot take. Trigvi Olsen, thank
Anthony
you so
Edwards
much.
Is probably, I don't think he's available.
Back on the other side, hour two. Thanks, everybody.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Crude and Dom.
On a hump day that feels like a Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show, Judge Juan Merchan will charge the jury. Dom will charge the mound. You better tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.